with us today. I'm going to sort of preach as I read. So you just help us. We're going to go with the Lord in prayer and ask the Lord's help on it. And I really desire that God would help us. I believe that we all need the help of the Lord. Don't you think that's right? I'm glad when we get to singing some of them songs, every now and then it ought to resonate. I'll tell you, sometimes I'm not sure. Sometimes it seems like that the Lord's putting the gas on it and somebody's just sitting on the brakes. I'll tell you what I hope will happen. I hope God will just keep riding on the gas till he burns your brakes out. Amen. Amen. Let's go with the Lord in prayer and ask the Lord to help us. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. God, I pray, and Lord, you'd help us tonight to preach the gospel. God, I pray as if it be the last time that I'd ever get to declare it. God, I pray that you'd give us good unction and liberty today. God, to say just exactly what you'd have us to say. Lord, I thank you for my Bible. God, I thank you, and Lord, that it's ever relevant. God, as one old writer said one time, God, I'm glad that the Word of God is more up to date than tomorrow's news. I'd ask you, Lord, that you'd help us. I pray, God, that you'd speak peace to our heart. I'd ask you, God, that you'd restore us. And God, restore worship. Help us, God, to get in that place. Lord, where we're not worried about anybody else. God, where we're not worried about what else is happening. But God, our minds and our heart are set solely on the Lamb of God. I pray, Lord, we need you tonight. Ask you to help us now. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. You already are. Amen. Here's what the Bible said in verse number 16. I'll start in verse 14 because it's good. Hey, you remember, here's the time whenever God has come to Abraham and Sarah, and it's about time for them to have Isaac. That's 15 years after the promise had first been delivered. And whenever they let them know about it, you remember the Bible said that she laughed. Oh, but I like what he said in verse 14. He said, is there anything that's too hard for the Lord? He said, if that time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. And Sarah denied, saying, I laughed not, for she is afraid. And he said, nay, but thou didst laugh. But I want you to watch what he says next. He said, and the men rose up from thence and looked towards Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. Verse 17 said, and the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do? Let me say this, friend. I'm glad that the people of God are not in the dark on a lot of things. Amen. And now sometimes they think that we're ignorant and we're backwoods and all of that. And thank God I may be all of those things. But I also understand that we're living right on the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I also understand that there's not going to be peace in this world. It matters not, friend, who's in the White House or who's in Russia. None of that makes any difference. There'll be no peace until the Prince of Peace sits on his throne in the millennial kingdom. Amen. I say thank God. I'm not looking, friend, for things to get better. I'm looking for the church to get out. Amen. I'm not in dark of those things. The Bible teaches us all of that. I'm saying this simply. I'm standing where we're standing, understanding about the tribulation to come. And we understand, thank God, that there's some things that God's not hidden from us. He told us what it looked like in those times. He told us what it'd be like in these days. And so thank God, I just walk around, and when I get in some places, sometimes Chase, they'll say something like this. I'll say, this is a dry time in the church's day. And I'll say it like this. And God said it would be. Amen. He said in 2 Timothy chapter number 3, and there'd be many that have a form of godliness, but would deny the power thereof. And so when I see it, I'm not surprised too much about it. Amen. But I do thank God, and don't have to be there. that way. Amen. I'll say this, God, it happens. But listen, friend, and the first thing you find, everybody else was in the dark. A lot was in the dark as to what was about to happen. Hey, something about, look at me, friend. Hey, something about getting out of fellowship with God. And that'll put you in the dark out of the spiritual things around you. Amen. A lot didn't know what was about to happen. Sodom and Gomorrah sure didn't know what was about to happen. But Abraham knew what was about to happen. Amen. I thank God for it. Let your Bibles all get down where the Lord, and where I feel like the Lord wants us to preach out of. He said, saying that Abraham, well, surely verse 16, he said, 18 rather, saying that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, for all the nations of the earth shall be blessed by him. He said, for I know him. Amen. Boy, thank God for that. He said that he'll command the children of his household after him. They shall keep the way of the Lord, do justice and judgment, that they might bring upon Abraham, which was spoken of him. But I want you to know to skip down verse 25. And here's where I bring the message. And I feel like the Lord's laid to my heart. And God's let Abraham in on the fact that he's about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And I mean, about to wipe them off. And you understand that Lot's in that place. And Abraham's got some questions. At verse 25, he said, "It'd be far from me to do after this manner." He said, "To slay the righteous with the wicked, that the righteous should be as the wicked." He said, "That'd be far from me." But I want you to notice this last phrase. He said, "Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" Amen. I'll say this to you, friend, and just some things God put in my heart, and I'll try to preach to you what I want you to understand. Abraham just received the best news that he had had in a very, very long time. And it hadn't been right after he got the best news that he probably got the worst news. Amen. And so he's went from way up here, and God's finally fulfilling that promise, until now God says he's going to wipe out all of Sodom and Gomorrah. And I'm sure Abraham was concerned about most of those souls. But listen, friend. Hey, so one family, no doubt. Hey, Brother Tony Neal, he's got on his heart. I'll say this to you. If the rapture should come right now, the whole world's in trouble. Amen. But tell you, some folks particular that I've got on my heart, that if the rapture should come right now, boy, they're very much in trouble. I mean, they're getting ready to go through hell on earth, and they are not ready for it. And so you understand, Abraham's in that. Watch the Bibles now. And verse 22, at the end of it, it said, "But Abraham stood yet before the Lord." But I like verse 23. It said, "Abraham drew near." Amen. I want to say this to you. Thank God. I'm glad that whenever we've gotten bad news, that we still got access and the ability to approach our Creator. Amen. Abraham got that bad news, and he's standing over here, thank God. But Brother Bill, when he gets it, he said, "Let me draw just a little closer." Amen. And let me thank God. I get to where God's at. I want you to watch this, friend. I mean, I don't know where you're standing at, but I sure am glad. And whenever bad news comes, hey, thank God. Listen, I want to go on record and say it. I'm glad I don't live in the times of Job. Amen. I'm glad I don't live in the times of Aaron and Moses. I'm glad that where I live, I've got access to a divine Father, and that all I've got to do, according to James chapter 4, humble myself in the sight of God, and submit myself unto the Lord, and draw nigh unto God, and He will draw nigh unto me. Amen. And God said it, and I believe it. Thank God. I believe it whether you do or not. Amen. I've done seen it happen. And so I want you to watch this. And we find in this place, he approached his Creator. But then I find also, and notice the Bible said, verse 20, at verse number 23 at the end, he said, "Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked?" I want you to understand, friend, he's in a place that he approached his Creator, but he's also aware of his confusion. He understands that he don't know what's happening. He doesn't understand what's going on. Hey, listen, it's all right. It's all right, thank God, to be in that place where you don't understand what God's doing. Amen. I mean, it's all right to stand in that place where you're confused by the actions of God. I'll say this to you. We ought to be more confused by them. Amen. It don't even make sense in my eyes and in the mind of of that. And then the last thing he says, he said, well, I don't understand what's happening, but I'll do the one thing I know to do. I'll do the one thing that I think's right. And thank God, he said, he just appealed to his creator. He said, thank God, listen, I don't know about what's going on, but one thing I do know, I know that the judge of the earth shall do right. Amen. I don't know about what all's happening around us. I don't know what's happening in your life, but I can tell you this, thank God, whatever God does, it'll be right and it'll be in order. Amen. He said, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? I want to say, and I want to preach on this subject, on God will do what's right every time. Amen. What's right every time. Abraham standing there looking around, and he said, boy, I wish God you'd do what's right. He said, shall you not do it? And to thank God, he said, oh yes. You know what I got thinking about, Jesse? Hey, you know how much it would have helped Abraham if he had said something like this? I don't know why he didn't. I mean, now listen, you may be super spiritual and you like to be in the dark about a lot of things, but thank God, I wish God let me in on a few things. Amen. I mean, I'd like to know the whys on some of the reasons why things is happening and the way they are. And the only thing that Abraham needed to hear from God is, I'm getting ready to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, but don't worry about it. I'm going to pull Lot out first. If he'd have just said that to him, I mean, as having a conversation, he said, I'm not going to hide things from him. And all he had to say was, I'm going to take care of your nephew. I'm going to take care of your nephew's wife. I'm going to take care of your nephew's two girls. That's all he had to say. And Abraham would have said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for being so good to us. Thank you for doing what's right. But boy, he didn't tell him none of that, did he? Amen. He just walked off from that. And you find in the next chapter, Abraham goes and sits on a hill and watches the smoke of the city go up. And he don't have no idea how that Lot got out. And Brother Matt, I was sitting there and I was praying, asking the Lord. I said, Lord, why didn't you just show him? Why didn't you just tell him that you was going to help his nephew? And I'll tell you what the Holy Ghost got dealing in my heart about. He said, just a few chapters later, I'm going to ask him for his son. And if he can't trust me with his nephew, he'll never trust me with his son. I'm telling you, thank God. And when he got over there and got to trust in him and with his nephew, he said, I don't know what happened to Lot, but thank God I know that God done what was right. Amen. I don't know, thank God, what happened in his life. I don't know what happened in his family. I don't know what happened with his boys. But what I do know is that the God and the judge of the earth will do what's right. Amen. Oh, listen, I'm telling you, thank God. He just committed his hands. Kaylee just committed him under the Lord's hands. And then a few chapters later, he said, all right, take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, and whom thou lovest. And he said, get thee up and to a place that I'll show thee hereafter. Thank God, and they started making that trip. And for 3 days, he was dead in the mind of Abraham. But no doubt in my mind, Josh, the whole time he's thinking, the judge of the earth will do what's right. And the judge of the earth will do what's right. And in his mind, what was right was God was going to help him. And God may have to resurrect him. He said, but I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. Thank God. Amen. I thank God. He said, I don't know how it's going to work out. But what I do know is this. He said, when I get there, the judge of the earth's going to do right. I don't have to take a lamb. I may have to offer my son. I may have to do some things that I don't want to have to do. But thank God, in the end, God will do what's right. Boy, listen, I've rewound that many times in my head. Oh, Abraham's got the knife drawn back. Boy, listen, I'm sure with tear in his heart and questions in his mind, with an uneasy spirit, he's about to be obedient under the will of God. But thank God, about the time he gets ready to bring her on down, you know what happens? The judge of the earth does what's right. Amen. He said, Abraham, Abraham. He said, now I know I will not withhold thine only son from me. And thank God, he lifted up his eyes, and behold,
behold a ram caught in the thicket. Amen. I thank God that the judge of the earth will do what's right. Amen. He'll do what's right even when it looks wrong. Amen. He'll do what's right. Listen, thank God. Listen, I'm trying to mind the Lord. You help us. I was sitting the other day, me and my boy sitting eating, and I got to looking over, and there's a situation and Jesse that was transpiring in front of me. And whenever I got to looking at it, it got in my heart and it hurt my heart so much. I just looked and I said, Lord, why in the world is that happening like that? I got to thinking about some things in my mind and I couldn't hardly figure out why there's a happening the way there's happening. And you think whatever you want to think. I'm telling you, I blessed my Chick-fil-A because that's what good Baptists eat. Amen. And after I blessed my Chick-fil-A and I got ready to eat it, I'm telling you, the Lord put that in my heart and said, do you trust me? And I thought, listen, Brother Bill, there's a lot of things I don't know, and there's a lot of things I can't tell you why it happened. But Brother Doug, with the help of the Lord, I would like to be like Job in that aspect. And that though he should slay me, yet will I trust him. I don't know what's going to happen. And I said, yes, Lord. And then he put that verse, how shall not the judge of the earth do right? Amen. I'm telling you, there's things that look wrong right now. But oh, thank God, on heaven's fair shore one day, in the light of eternity, and when all the sinning millions have bowed down their heads, have bowed down their knees, and lifted up their voices, we'll all recognize in our heart that the judge of all the earth have done right. Amen. He'll do right even when it looks wrong. Amen. Amen. Thank God. I'll say this to you. He'll do what's good even when it looks like it's bad. Amen. Hey, some things, thank God, sometimes we go through so many bad situations. And, usually what we're trying to figure out why it happened. And we're usually trying to figure out where God's at. And we're trying to figure out, listen, it goes like this. Amen. Hey, I'm not the only person to ever be here, Alyssa. I'll say something like this. I'll say, Lord, I'm trying to serve you the best I can. I mean, Lord, I'm reading my Bible. I'm praying, thank God. I'm trying to follow the leadership of the Lord, and then yet trouble came. Amen. And you say, oh Lord, thank God. Right. I wish it'd be a little different sometimes. This looks awful bad, but thank God. Let me say this to you, friend. I sure am glad. And even when things are looking bad, and God already told me He's working it out for my good. Amen. I'm one of my favorite. Oh Lord, help us just a minute. And one of my favorite passages. It's about little old Joseph over there. And my friend, whenever you find he's been cast down in a pit by his family. But listen, oh, that looked bad. And now we just read that. Hey, Donnie Williams, we just read that. And we pass on by it. And we say, boy, there he was in a pit. You know why we pass on by it? Because it wasn't us in the pit. Amen. But boy, whenever you're in a pit and you can't see out and everything's dark all around you and things are looking bad around you. Amen. Hard sometimes to see how good God's being. Amen. Hey, listen, friend, I'll say this to you. He had been cast down by his family. And then you understand right after that, he gets bound down by his foes. And they put him in the prison. And they lock him up. And thank God I've been in enough services, amen, and to not even like being bound down in services. I sometimes feel like you're cuffed on your wrists, on your ankles, and you've got a gag order, amen. But thank God, listen, he was bound down by his foes. And I got to thinking about not just right after that, and you find that old friend, he's been forgotten about and by his friends. And if you read it like this, essentially anybody I know, when they talk about Joseph, they talk about three bad times in his life. But I got good news for you. In chapter 37, it said, and the Lord was with him. And listen, hey, look here at me, friend. I want you to hear me, all right? Hey, Nate, you know what it could have said? And this would have made me happy. If for every bad time, Chase, if for every bad time that was there, if there was one and the Lord was with him, it would go right with it. That'd make me so happy I couldn't stand it. And here's a bad time, but oh, on the other side there's good, and the Lord was with him. Here's a bad time, but oh, there's good. Here's the Lord was with him. But I'll tell you this, there's not three at times that the Bible says, and the Lord was with him. But there's four, amen. And thank God, you say, why is that? There's always one more good time, and there is a bad time, amen. There's always something better. And don't ever think that just serving God, it just sort of equals out. Oh, no, friend. A serving God is so far better than anything else, and that even in the darkest times, and the Lord is with us, amen. Amen. Oh, listen, for very long, Joseph stands up there. And now look here, you know, it was 13 years later. He stands up there and he says, what you meant for, somebody help me, evil, that's right. He said, God meant it. And boy, listen, even in those bad times, you know, I believe that Joseph would say, the judge of the earth did right. I'm sure he was probably thinking when he was in the pit, he probably thought, Lord, hey, listen, I'll be honest with you, you read your Bible, and there's never one time, Lisa, not one instance in all of the Holy Scripture that ever records a fault in Joseph. Not one. Not one. Look here, if I followed you around today, or you followed me around today, how many books you reckon they could write on how many times we'd mess up just today? But you find that whole Scripture, and not one thing's recorded bad about Joseph. And yet trouble came anyhow. He found himself down anyway. But at the end of it, I'll guarantee you, he could lift his hand up to the Lord and say, the Lord and the judge of the earth done right. Amen. He'll do what's right even when it looks wrong. He'll do what's good even when it looks bad. Aren't you glad for that? Listen, I'm in Callie's testimony, Brother Cliff's testimony, Brother Josh's lesson, the special song, everything that was said today, that just reminded me over and over. I want to go on record as saying this. Hey, listen, Mark chapter number 5, Brother Cliff, I thought if he reads about that, I'm going to boo him and tell him to sit down, amen. Hey, listen, he got up there and he picked up right after it, amen. But you know what happened? He got up there in Mark chapter number 5, and they're getting out and they're on the boat. And when they get on that boat, and the Bible said that the wind began to blow and the waves began to rise, and so that the boat was now full. Amen. And you know where you find Jesus? I thank God, in the hinder part of the ship, and the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they said, man, this would be a real good time, Lord, for you to control what's going on. Let me go on record as saying this. Have things in your life that may be spiraling out of control. And you say, I don't know how God is ever going to do anything. But I'm telling you, even whenever the boats are rocking, and whenever there's more water on the inside and there is on the outside, even when you think you're about to go under, there's a God in heaven that's still in control. Amen. Amen. You didn't happen here by happenstance. Listen, I got to testify a little bit. I'm taking me a praise break, and I'm going to testify for a minute. Can I do that? Listen, I got up, and Tony and Josh and some of us was there. Of course, it probably meant a little more to me and Tony and Anita whenever Tyler got up and got to singing. That's pretty good, wasn't it? I mean, it was real good, wasn't it? He got up there, and he got ready to get up there and sing, you know, and got to testify a little bit. And Brother Bill, I got to go. I mean, I had a good time. Y'all understand that. But I got to going home. And about halfway between Dripping Springs and Clark Range, Tennessee, the Holy Ghost got in my heart and started showing me, Brother Kyle, what the Lord really did do. Or at least some of it. Let me say that. We don't know. I look here. I'm talking about a snowflake when what the Lord does is a glacier. Y'all understand that?
Yeah.
But I'm saying this. I got up there and I thought this. I thought, really, Brother Nathaniel, there's four preachers that's been in his life. Has Brother Mark Hall, where he announced his call to preach.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. Has Brother James York, who used to carry him around all over the country and help him get started. And thank God there was his pastor, that'd be me. And there's Brother Josh Singlin. That's where he's at this morning, Brother Delmer. That's the other preacher, Brother. Dad, listen, I got thinking about that. I thought, you know, what about the Lord making sure that all of us was in the same place, the same night, whenever the Holy Ghost came by his way and restored him in the family? That's pretty good, ain't it, Callie? You know what's even better about that? Is in the very place where God restored him, I sat less than 50 yards from that as the last time whenever his hair, whenever they buried his baby. You know what's even better than that? As sitting right on the next pew to where they sat and went through their hardest loss, I got to watch him right there, and I got to watch her right there, and both of their arms was just like his as they was proclaiming the goodness of God. And you say, what are you saying? I'm saying this. Everything looked like it was wrong, but right now, I'll guarantee you, they would say how the judge of the earth has done what's right. Amen. Amen. That's the Lord.
Amen.
You can't do that. We couldn't have wrote that thing out. And y'all ain't near as excited about it as I am. I'd like to be able to tag somebody and all of us run. But I'm saying this. God orchestrated that whole thing. God let him be restored in the place where it started.
Yeah.
I ought to be able to stop right there and let's all shout it out for us tonight.
Amen.
I'm going to give you one more thing. Can I do this for you? I'm going to tag back in now the testimony back to the message. God's doing something even when it looks like he ain't doing nothing.
Amen.
And these people, and they go through service after service, and they say, man, I'm praying, and I'm talking to the Lord.
Yeah,
they said, there ain't nothing happening.
Exactly right, brother.
I want to go on record. I want to just look up here at me. Y'all listen to me right here for just a minute, will you? Let me just be your pastor for a minute. Can I do that?
Go ahead, brother.
And I want to remind you of this, that the biggest something God ever done was whenever it looked like nothing was happening.
Right. Amen. Exactly.
On the cross of Calvary, there he sits and everybody's trying to get him to do something.
Yeah.
The disciples want him to do something. They don't want him to die.
Right.
The Jews want him to do something. They say, come off the cross.
Right.
The scribes and the Pharisees want him to do something. And you know what the Lord's doing? Doesn't look like he's doing nothing. I'll go further. I think the angels in heaven want him to do something.
Yeah.
I think that's all standing on the banisters of heaven, Tammy, looking down, saying there's 12 legions of us, and we're ready to come at your call. We wish to God you'd do something, and just say the word, and we'll come where you're at. Hey, good news. Jesus didn't need them, amen. And in that place where he's not saying nothing, in that place where he's submitting himself over, and it don't look like he's doing nothing, when he's hanging on the cross, and there's darkness all around him, and it looks like nothing's happening. Hey, when they put him in the grave and it looks like nothing's going on, 3 days later, a salvation for us all. Amen. That's the biggest something's ever happened. And he done it. And he done it when it looked like nothing was going on. Nothing. Everybody would have said, nothing's happening. And it looked like it for 3 days.
Yeah.
But thank God.
Yeah.
I'm saying this to you. You're sitting in that place and you're saying, it don't look like the Lord's doing nothing. I'm praying.
Gloria.
And nothing's happening. I'm crying and nothing's happening. I'm seeking and nothing's happening. I got good news for you. Maybe the biggest thing God's ever done in your life is happening right now when you think he's doing nothing.
Right. Yep.
Good preaching.
I've cleared my heart. I'm going to say this. Lisa, come to the piano. I'm going to say this to you, friend. You know what we'll say when we get to heaven and we look back? Mike, we look back over all those times when we said, man, it didn't look like the Lord was doing nothing.
Yeah.
You know what we'll say about that, Carrie? We'll say, man, wasn't he doing what was right then? I'm going to give you this last thing and I'm done. That's 2 minutes.
I'm done. The Lord will remember even when it looks like he's forgotten.
You better believe it, brother.
And these folks here, no doubt, and you think, stand to your feet, go ahead and play. You think there's, listen, you say, boy, it feels like the Lord's forgotten me. Feels like the Lord's forgot about me. No, no, he can't. He's engraved you upon the palms of his hands. His walls continually about you. These times folks say, Lord, I remember. You know, listen, Brother Darrell, these folks getting ready to get the judgment seat of Christ, and they don't know if God even ever remembers anything they did. You know what the Bible said in Hebrews 6:10? Said, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. God never has forgotten one good thing. I don't know where you're standing at today. I just want to give you a little hope. A little encouragement in the Lord. Haley, the judge of the earth will do what's right. Justin Compton, the judge of the earth, is going to do what's right. Ethan, the judge of the earth, will do what's right. And there may be times, Canaan, all around you, that you look and you say, this don't make sense. Lord, it looks like it's bad. He says, no, it's good. Look like you've forgotten me. He said, no, this is because I'm remembering you. You say, Lord, feel like this thing's over. And he says, no, it's just getting started. I'm telling you, everything God does, he does it, and he does it perfectly. I just want to remind you one more time. The judge of the earth will do what's right. And if you're here and you're saved, hey, listen, just be resting in it. And if you're lost, you're in a place today. You're here by the good grace of God. And if you'll come to him, he'll do what's right. You say, what's right? It's right to save you. He will. He will. At the, I'm going to hush, but at the end of this thing, yeah. Stephen, at the end of this thing, we've got that story over there in the book of Luke. He said that he agreed with the laborers together. He agreed with them for one penny on the day. All right, Josh. And then he went out, and about the sixth hour of the day, there's some standing around working. He didn't tell them he'd give them a penny.
Right.
You know what he said he would do? He said, I'll give you what's right.
Yeah.
And then he went out the ninth hour, and then he went out the 11th hour, and he said, I'll give you what's right. And you know what he done? I said, hey, Sam, you know what he done? At the end of the day, every one of them came by. The first came by. The last came by.
Yep.
The youngest came by. The eldest came by. Hey, listen, you know what they all said? I mean, there's some of them that bore the brunt of the day. They bore it. Brother Doug, listen, there's some folks here, I ain't done preaching, I'm going to mind the Lord.
Amen.
But there's some folks here, and they've been serving the Lord for 50 years. And they bore the brunt of this thing. They fought when nobody else wanted to fight. They've sung when nobody else wanted to sing. They prayed when nobody else wanted to pray. And they just bore the brunt of it. But there's going to be some, and they're going to get in at the last hour. And Misty, you know what I can say in an honest heart? I want this little fella right here to get as much, amen, as Donnie Neal gets, or as much as Bobby Coger gets. I mean, thank God, listen, at the end of the day, whether it's one that's been here for 80 or one that's got in the last 8 seconds.
Amen.
Yeah.
Whenever God reaches down and gives them, you know what we'll all say God done? He did what was right. There'll be nobody on that day to look at God and say, you didn't treat me right. No. We'll all look at even the worst circumstance of our life and say, even there, you done what was right. I've cleared my heart.